So today is Vyasa Puja of Srila Prabhupada. And this day is a unique day celebrated in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, not actually celebrated in other Vaishnava Sampradayas. Generally, in other Vaishnava Sampradayas, Guru's this particular day for Guru is celebrated on Purnima called Guru Purnima. Guru Purnima, which is usually in June or July, something. And throughout India and bona fide Vaishnava Sampradayas, Guru is worshipped on that day. Throughout Vrindavan and all Goswami temples, etc., Guru is worshipped on that day. But in our Gaudiya Sampradaya, the actual birthday of the Guru, that day is celebrated as Vyasa Puja. Gaudiya Sampradaya has a different vision of Guru than all other Sampradayas and Vaishnava Sampradayas. Generally it is said Guru means representative of Krishna. If one is not representative of Krishna, then he cannot actually be Guru. Unfortunately, there are many so-called Gurus in the world today. They do not represent Krishna. They represent something of their own creation, of their own imagination. Many times they say, I am Bhagavan. They say they are God. They are Bhagavan. No, you are also the Choti Bhagavan. Someday you'll become the big Bhagavan. Whenever you hear such words, that is not Guru. Guru means Krishna is Bhagavan. That is Guru. Who says Krishna is Bhagavan, that is proper knowledge. That is Guru. Who represents Krishna? Krishna is Bhagavan. And who says Krishna is Bhagavan, that is Guru. Of course, there are many, many points. What is Guru? What is Guru? But that is the most fundamental point. One who says, I am God or you are God, they are not Guru. So Guru is always the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared on earth in Kali Yuga as Sri Chaitanya, Krishna Chaitanya. This is described in numerous places, in Puranas and in Vedas and in Srimad Bhagavatam. And it has been written about extensively in the last 500 years since his appearance, the Yuga Avatar, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. The place of his birth in Nadia, who his parents are, Jagannath Mishra, Sachi Mata, what his mission is, or what pastimes he performs, Sankirtan, all these things are described in Shastra before he comes to this world. Since he's come to this world, so many cheaters are there to say that they are also Bhagavan throughout India and also in other parts of the world. But actually, who is Guru in Kali Yuga is not only the servant of Krishna. Who is Guru is the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we have a Guru, but he is not a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then in the truest sense of the word, he is not the Guru. It is not even good enough to say you believe in Krishna. If you say you believe in Krishna, but you do not believe in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Krishna himself doesn't accept your devotion, your belief. It is not a matter of what you like to believe. It is a matter of what the Lord has presented. 5,000 years ago, at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, Krishna appeared in Vrindavan. 4,500 years later, Krishna himself appeared again in Navadvipa. No one could understand what is Krishna in Vrindavan. Still today, no one knows what is Krishna. Even in Dwarka, what to speak of Vrindavan. Nobody really knows what he is. Everybody has some misunderstanding. How Krishna has 16,108 wives. How he has so many ladies, so many wives. When he was a young boy, he had so many girlfriends. But what is Krishna And what are those girlfriends? And what is Vrindavan? Or what is Dwarka? And what are those queens? We don't know. We're thinking those are ordinary things of this world. Krishna is a man of this world. Those ladies are ladies. Those girls are girls. So all this type of life, this is mischief. This is not a moral life. People think Krishna is immoral. They do not understand what the absolute truth is. So before you hear about Krishna and Dwarka, before you hear about Krishna and Vrindavan, first you should hear what Krishna says at Kurukshetra. That's Bhagavad Gita. If you want to understand Krishna, you have to hear from Krishna at Kurukshetra, Bhagavad Gita. Then we can have some understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still, although Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, thousands of years went by, but people did not understand him and did not understand their duty in relation to him. Therefore, Krishna came again in this Kali Yuga as Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and he taught in his own form, he taught us how to serve Krishna. Krishna came and taught how to serve Krishna. Just like in your family situation or somewhere, when some lesson needs to be taught, the teacher performs the lesson himself. He demonstrates the lesson for the benefit of the student. So the Lord appears in Kali Yuga for the benefit of humanity to teach us how to serve Him. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He teaches us how to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna and Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. So, really, who is Guru means he is representative of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And one who says he doesn't believe in Sri Krishna Chaitanya, even he says, I believe in Krishna, we don't accept that person as a qualified teacher. Guru means teacher. Who is a teacher? To teach you about Krishna. You may have had a guru to learn how to sew. You may have had a guru to learn how to fight. You may have heard a guru, had a guru to learn to play musical instruments. But the guru who teaches you about Krishna is not like that other types of guru. The really guru means who teaches you to serve Krishna, how to serve Krishna, who teaches you what is Krishna, and who teaches you that you are not God. You are not Krishna. Now this might sound like a very simple thing, but this is very rare. This is very rare. In hundreds and thousands of ashrams all around the world, this is not being taught. People are being taught all sorts of mischief from the so-called guru. All sorts of misunderstandings are being taught. We think we are God. We think guru is God. But actually it's quite the opposite. What is the opposite of God? Dog. God is G-O-D. Dog is D-O-G. You think you are God, in the next life you become a dog. So, guru is one who teaches us about Krishna and who comes and represents Krishna. However, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, it is taken that guru is so much the representative of Krishna that he's taken as non-different. Non-different. If you receive a newspaper, for example, it may represent some policy from England. Now, you may not like that policy and you may burn that newspaper. You receive some notice. And it represents, something has come represents that foreign policy. You don't like that. Or from your own home ministry. Something comes from Vajpayee or Advani. You don't like that, you burn that. But what if you try to burn Advani himself or Vajpayee? That would be another thing. That would constitute a great offense. Or if his personal assistant came here to represent that policy, and then you tried to burn that man, what would happen? That would be a big offense. You can burn the paper. That also represents. But when this person comes, personal representation, that will be taken as a direct assault on the government, a direct assault on the home ministry, even it will be taken very personally by the home minister, I am attacked. My man is attacked. So Guru is so much the representative of Krishna. Krishna himself says he is none different than me. You should know that the Acharya, my representative, he is none different than me. You should not treat him with some difference. You should respect him with the same respect that you will give to me. So on Vyasa Puja Day in Gaudiya Sampradaya, on that day we respect and we worship Guru as none different than Krishna. But bear in mind, he is not Krishna. He does not become Krishna for the moment. But he is so dear to Krishna, so close to Krishna, as the representative of Krishna, then Krishna is very happy to see us shower praises and worship to our Guru. Now, most of you never met our Guru, Srila Prabhupada. How many people here do you think, don't raise your hand, but how many people do you think here have seen Srila Prabhupada? Tell me. How many people? How many people in this group have seen Prabhupada?
Three.
Which three? Mine? And?
Who's the third?
Oh, I didn't think you'd guess. Yes, Madhumaraj also saw Prabhupada. But he was a small baby. He was only maybe 6 months to 1 year old, something like that. So he doesn't remember that scene. So, actually we are trying to see Guru. Seeing Guru is also not just something you do with this eye. It is not something a child can do. It is sometimes something also that a man or a woman grown, they also cannot do. Just because they have eyes does not mean you can see Guru. Now sometimes the Guru goes out of the ashram, he goes with his disciple, he goes to the market. And the disciple wants everybody to recognize, oh, Guru Maharaj has come. Move, move, move. The Guru would tell him, stop that. They don't see what you see. The disciple sees Guru. When he goes outside the gate, he's just another fellow in the race, in the push and the shove, in the rush hour. Nothing special. An internal vision is required to see Guru. It is not just a function of this eye, but it is a function of revelation which occurs within us. That is called Chaita Guru. Chaita Guru reveals to us who is our Guru in this world. It is not any other function than that. Chaita Guru means Krishna in your heart. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows us better than we know ourselves. We are oftentimes, most of the times, fooling ourselves. We have never fooled him for 1 second in eternity. He knows clearly what we are and what we want. He knows everything about us. But we know very little of ourselves. We know very, very little. Mostly, the people in the world don't know anything about their self. They know only about their mind. Their mind is dragging them like wild horses through the experience of life. The mind is stalking various attachments to life in the form of society, friendship, and love. But these are all foreign to ourself, to the Atma. Much, much deeper than the mind, we will find the Atma. Much deeper. A person doesn't go, oh, I've realized the truth, and point to the head. Once I met a young man, he said, yes, I've realized. He pointed to his brain. Well, if you had to point anywhere, you would say, yes, I realized. And you touch the heart. The heart means the inner core of your existence. The Atma is located in the deepest part of your existence, of your experience. The Atma is there. And seated along with you, within you, is the super soul. When, after many millions of lifetimes, we desire to know the truth and to find our way out of the darkness of ignorance, the super soul then guides us and reveals to us in this external world one who is fit to guide us. One who is fit to guide us. That is Guru. Then, that Guru is known as Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru. Gurus in our outside world, they guide us. We see them. We see them according to this eye, this age. But this eye cannot really see them. We see, you see so many pictures of Prabhupada when he is old. There are some pictures of him when he was young also. We have photos of Prabhupada's guru, Bhaktisiddhanta, when he was 6 years old. So many changes will be there. But actually, guru does not change. Guru is beyond this body. Prabhupada used to say, I am not this body. We would all be gathered around. Half the people were thinking, oh, he's so handsome, he's so charming, he's so sweet, he's so nice. And then he would say, I am not this body. Probably, if he said, I am this body, we would have said, yes, that is also okay. We would have even accepted that. Because everyone was very much in love with him. Everyone was, all his disciples that would be there, they were very much fond of him. And whatever he said, or whatever he suggested, it became law, just like this. If he suggested you should only eat two chapatis, thousands of disciples simply started eating two chapatis only. Not three, only two. Such was his power over us. His power over us. Those who were surrendered souls, who were in this relationship, Krishna within the heart, and Guru being revealed by Krishna. So, Krishna reveals Guru. It is not something you find by your searching only. You must search. There's a saying, search and you will find. But the find depends on the will of the Supreme Lord. According to our sincerity, according to our previous life activities, like Vishnu Maharaj was mentioning, then we will find ourselves in a situation in this world. It is not by accident. It is not by accident. There are no accidents, actually. Everything is under the control of the Supreme Lord. So, when we come into a proper disciplic succession, we should count our lucky stars. We should know ourselves, our good fortune. Not only is the Guru's birthday celebrated in Vaishnavism, but we also observe and honor the birthday of all the devotees in different ways. Maybe not in the same elaborate function, but we honor. And you should look upon your own birth also. Oh, this is my lucky day. Because in this life, I came in connection with my Guru. In this life, my Guru has put me in connection with the Supreme Lord. Because in this life, I have got the opportunity to serve the Supreme Lord and go back to Godhead. So, I thank my lucky stars on my birthday also. I am very fortunate. But without coming in that connection to Guru, without coming in connection to Krishna, then our life is no more significant than this insect that's flying around. He flies in the sky and doesn't cost anything. We fly in the sky, cost thousands and thousands of dollars, thousands and thousands of rupees, at great cost in air pollution and danger, crashing and so many things. We think our life is so great because we have science. We have flying in the sky. What will we do if we go to the moon? We'll establish a garbage dump there, a trash bin. If you go to nature, the water is clean. Look at the river that comes out of Bangalore, just south of Bangalore. One river comes out of there, a river of sewage and pollution. Wherever we humans go, we destroy the environment. We pollute the environment, the water, the air, the land. We're so proud what we are. But actually our life is just like that of a firefly. And one day, it simply ends. Without a moment's notice, it's just over. And our greatness is vanished. That is for those who do not properly utilize this human form of life. So our everything, and I say this to you not in the mood of a canvasser, I tell you this from my own experience. Everything of value in life is found in connection with Guru. If it doesn't have connection with Guru, it is of little to no value, closer to no value. Not even little value, no value. There are so many things that we think are near and dear to us. Even this body itself. But it has no value. We are related to people in our family and greater family. When life is over, you will never, ever see them again in millions and millions of years. You don't even know who they are. Even your own wife and your own children. We are all strangers in this world. In this material world, all are strangers. You don't know who they are. You say, it is my son, it is my daughter, it is my wife. Actually, they are strangers. They were somebody else's son, daughter, wife, and husband in a previous life. And many husbands, many wives, many daughters, all these things for millions and millions of lifetimes. So who they are? We don't know. We don't know. We don't know who we are ourselves. So how we know who our family members are, or our friends, or the people who live on the same street or in the same country. We don't know who they are. We see one man, we say he's an Indian. We divide that and say, no, he's from Karnataka. He's from Tamil Nadu. He's from Kerala. We divide that. We say, oh, those are foreigners. But actually, everyone is a foreigner here. Everyone is a foreigner in this land. No one comes originally from this land. We are not the products of matter. We are the products of consciousness. And we belong to another land, back to home, back to Godhead. We belong to the spiritual land where Krishna resides eternally, along with his servants. But forgotten that, we fallen souls are paying most heavily the illusion's toll. This is the illusion. But we pay a heavy toll in this illusion. Heavy toll. For every ounce, for every gram of enjoyment that we take from this material world, we will pay back several kilos of suffering. Understand? For every small amount of pleasure we take from this world, we have to pay back suffering. And not just an equal amount. Who is that physicist? Equal and opposite reaction?
Newton.
He was wrong. Everything in this material world does not have an equal and opposite reaction. The reaction varies in gradation. It is sometimes less than what we do good. Sometimes we do some good, but the return good is less. It's not even equal to what we did. Sometimes we do bad. The bad is not equal, it's 100 times worse. Nothing is there, what is there? It comes in the newspaper, and everybody goes, the fellow's crazy. He'll be hanging on the rope at the end of the week. Understand? You say, he's crazy. This world is called Mrityu Loka, death row. So why we should say we're happy here? When you come to serve Krishna, when you come to associate with Krishna's devotees, then your real happiness begins. Then you can proudly say, and you can with generous confidence say, I am happy. I am very happy. Even when we are suffering for Krishna, that is great happiness. What is that? That sounds like a type of madness. But let us consider the wife in the home, in the hot season, and cooking. She's cooking for her children and family. Is it suffering? Yes, it's so hot. And cooking next to the fire, it's so much inconvenience. Then, that cooking, that suffering, gives her great satisfaction. My children are being fed. My family is being fed. They are healthy. They are strong. Huh? That suffering is actually happiness. Understand? So it is like that. in Krishna consciousness. That even you do something that is miserable, it should otherwise be agonizing, it will be a source of pleasure. So, for a devotee of Krishna, even when he is suffering, actually, he is experiencing pleasure. Because he is connected to Krishna in everything he does. That connecting link is Sri Gurudev. We cannot make that connection without that. The Guru connects us to everything which is connected to Krishna. There is not any other way around this. So our first important necessity in life is to find our Guru. Based on our heart's necessity and sincerity, Krishna will reveal. That's the beginning. Then we have to take many steps to serve Guru and to serve Vaishnava. Some devotees think, my Guru is there and I serve my Guru and that's all. But that is like looking with one eye closed. If you look with open eyes, you'll see that the Guru is not alone. The Guru has his associates. The Guru also has his disciples. And we should not only serve our Guru, we should serve his associates, and we should serve his disciples also. It is through this life of service that we become free from the illusions and the tolls of this material world. By service to Sri Guru and his entourage, then we are freed from the miseries of material existence. By this service, then our eyes, which are closed in darkness, our eyes are opened. Then we can see clearly what is what in this world. What is good and what is bad. What to do and what not to do. And gradually, as our eyes are opened more and more, we can see who our Guru actually is. We have seen him. We have found him. We have taken initiation from him. But the process is not complete. Still, it is not so easy to see him, who he is. This is a revelation that comes by the grace of Krishna. He revealed him in the first place. He may reveal him in the second place also. Means who he is in eternity. Do not think that your Guru belongs to a particular nationality, a particular country, or he is even a particular age, or he is a man or a woman even. These are all external visions. We should try to see within. And we should pray to Krishna with the revelation. Some inspiration may come to us to see actually what is Guru. Our Guru does things and ordinary people do the same thing. But we see it is not the same thing. It is not the same thing. In every house there is cooking. Is this kitchen different because it's bigger? Whose kitchen is this? Whose?
Radharani.
That's Krishna's kitchen. Radharani works in Mother Yasoda's kitchen. It's Krishna's kitchen. She is the servant of Krishna. All are the servant of Krishna. So, when I say eyes to see Guru, first that means inspiration to serve. If we see our Guru with these eyes, and actually Krishna is revealing to us, then the experience will be an eagerness to serve. Now, oftentimes, it is said that prema, which is love, is the be-all and end-all of life. It is the ultimate goal, to develop love for Krishna. I once heard something very nice from Srila Sridhar Maharaj, who he said, the remuneration of prema, what you'll get when you have prema, what you'll get. Many people just think you'll just have your eyes closed and you'll just be rocking your head, you'll just be all blissed out. It'll be your day. The defect, we think it's some benefit for us. We want to love Krishna, but it is not something for us. So he told, the remuneration means what will come to you when you have prema, love of Krishna, is unlimited energy to serve. Again, back to the beginning. Serve. You are told to serve in the beginning when you come. You're given a broom, something to sweep, something to clean. Later you learn to serve the deity, you learn to serve in the kitchen. It's always service. I am not sitting, Vishnuvar is not sitting, and Prabhupada was not sitting in his room enjoying. Many times we see the guru, he's simply enjoying. His room is getting fancier and more opulent. His furnitures are getting more class. He's eating more class. And if you look, he is enjoying. Guru is not enjoyer. Only one enjoyer in this ashram. Krishna. He's the enjoyer. Super enjoyer. Everyone else. Guru is servant. Guru is servant. Devotee is servant. You are servant. Immediately service. Understand? Servant. And it is not exploitation. Like the army. You join the army, the new man in the army has to do all the cleaning. The old man in the army, he sits back like this. And as he grows up, comes up, then he tells him, hey, you're clean, I'm out. He's free from that. No. In Krishna's army, everyone is a servant. Ekla Ishwara Krishna, Arasabha Vrittya. In Bengali it said only one supreme is there, Ishwara, that is Krishna. Everyone else is servant. Even Lord Balaram is a servant of Krishna. Srimati Radharani is servant of Krishna. In Vaikuntha, Lakshmi is servant of Narayan. The position of all living entities and the position of the various energies of Godhead also are to serve the Supreme Lord. He is the absolute recipient of service. All others are servants. So in the beginning, we are given service. That service, however, has got some obstacles. That is called anarthas. Obstacles. Krishna accepts our service, but it is not so pleasing because it is jaded. It is jaded with ignorance. It means it is covered with our ignorance. It is like a child is giving something with a dirty hand. Okay, you take from that child, but it is a dirty item. It's dirty. So it's not so good. But then someone who's mature and adult, they're very clean, they make some presentation. Right? That's a little better step. But their heart was not there. They're giving some gift, maybe. But they're simply giving because socially they should give. Someone will say, why you didn't also give on their wedding? So everybody gives something on the wedding, right? And mostly those gifts don't mean anything. Plus they're all the same gift. tea set. Those gifts have very little meaning. Then someone puts thoughtfulness towards the giving. They are both mature and clean and properly behaved, and they put thoughtfulness to that. They give something that you can use. It has some good value. But even then, there's a plane of giving which isn't even better than that. And that's when one gives with love. No selfishness, just gives to you something with love and affection. That type of gift is most appreciated by us. If we are actually properly situated. If we're a greedy person, we don't care about people's feelings. We want only to give the goods. But if we're a proper person, then people's consideration, their affection is everything. So as we develop affection to Krishna and serve with affection, it's called priti, with affection, that service is more relishable by Krishna. He takes great pleasure in that service. Then once coming to the point of prema, then we can serve Krishna with this prema, with this full love of Krishna. And he finds that most relishable and pleasing. In the beginning there is service, in the end there is service. If you are not prepared for service, you don't want to go back to Godhead. Because that's all that exists in the spiritual sky, in Goloka, in Vaikuntha, in Vrindavan. That's all that exists is service. So, many things are required for our advancement in life, and those things come to us by the grace of Guru. What we have, what knowledge we have, what understanding, what capacity, what talent, everything we have, we consider that has come to us by the grace of Guru. Without Guru, we are nothing in this world, And we have no approach to Krishna. So, on this Vyasa Puja day, our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he liked to hear types of talks, speeches, or offerings, which were about the philosophy of what is Guru. Of course, sometimes somebody would write a poem, "Those lotus feet can't be beat, sweet, sweet, your lotus feet." Everybody would laugh and have some, okay, that's okay. But what he really liked was we would try to explain to him what is our vision of Guru. And this is very encouraging for the teacher to see the students begin to reproduce the lessons. What he wants to teach them, they are catching that, and they are giving some expression to those lessons. Then the teacher, he feels some satisfaction. But again, there were always those "sweet, sweet, can't be beat, you're two lotus feet" type of things. And everyone would like that, and he would also appreciate it. So, Prabhupada used to write, we also write offerings to our guru, not only on this day, but on different times, and such disciples will write something as an offering to their guru. In 1936, Prabhupada wrote a poem. And when his guru read this poem, he was very, very happy. It was a poem. On that same day, what Maharaj read to you was a speech that Prabhupada gave, 1936, in Bombay, Gaudiya Math. And after reading this poem, then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, that's Prabhupada's guru, he said, "Whatever Abhai writes, whatever he writes in future, you should publish." So this poem and that article were published in the next monthly issue of the Harmonist magazine, 1936. So whenever we printed a Vyasa Puja book for Prabhupada, do you understand? In the beginning of that book, this poem would appear. This poem to his guru would there. He wrote many things, but this one his guru liked very much. And naturally, Prabhupada, he also liked this poem that he wrote. And so we used to publish it. And on this day, we used to read it also. If he was sitting and this function was going on, part of that function, we would read this poem. So it's a simple poem of a few verses. I'll read that, and then I'll explain one or two things of that. So Prabhupada begins his poem. He says, "Adore, adore ye all, the happy day, blessed than heaven and sweeter than May. When he appeared at Puri, the holy place, my Lord and Master, his divine grace. O my Master, the evangelical angel, give us thy light, and light up thy candle. Struggle for existence, a human race, the only hope, his divine grace. Misled we are, all going astray. Save us, Lord, our fervent pray. Wonder thy ways to turn our face. Adore thy feet, your divine grace. Forgotten Krishna, we fallen souls, paying most heavily illusion's toll. Darkness around, all untraced, the only hope, your divine grace. Message of service thou hast brought, a healthful life, as Chaitanya wrought. Unknown to all, it's full of grace, that's your gift, your divine grace. Absolute essentient thou hast proved, impersonal calamity thou hast moved. This gives us a life, a new and fresh. Worship thy feet, your divine grace. Had you not come, who had told the message of Krishna, forceful and bold? That's your right, you have the mace. save me a fallen, your divine grace. The line of service, as drawn by you, is pleasing and healthy, like morning dew. The oldest of all, but in new dress, miracle done, your divine grace. So it's a simple poem, but it's filled with a lot of meaning. And one day in Hyderabad, 1976, after reading this poem, Prabhupada started to describe what is meaning here. So I'll just describe one or two things. He says, "Adore, adore ye all the blessed day, sweeter than heaven, blessed than heaven, blessed than heaven, sweeter than May." So go back to last May. Delhi was 48 degrees Celsius. Here in Karnataka, it got like 43, 42. Sweltering heat, no rains. Sweeter than May. No. Calcutta is hot, humid. It's so hot that many people expire. May is not sweet. Why is written sweet? Sweeter than May. In Western countries, May is very nice. In Europe and in America, May is a very nice season. April showers bring May flowers, they say. And previously, in the old days, 50 years back, they used to have this festival. Vishnu Maharaj and I remember. It's called May Day Festival. And everything is kind of like a Diwali. Everything is all decoration. And in all the schools, the children dance around poles. And they hold these colored ribbons in their hands, and the ribbons wrap around the poles, and the band plays music, and it's a very family, social celebration. The whole country used to celebrate. Now they don't celebrate. Everybody's boozing and drinking. No time to celebrate nice things in Western countries. But previously, May Day was a very nice celebration. It is like a Vasant Panchami or something. The end of the winter and the spring and summer. And so he says, "I have mentioned this because our Guru Maharaj wanted us to go to Western countries for preaching. So by mentioning sweeter than May, I have given some recognition to my Guru's order, what he told me to do." Bhaktisiddhanta instructed Prabhupada to preach in English, to the English-speaking world. So by mentioning this sweeter than May, he has given some connection. Do you follow?
Yes, sir.
Then he mentions here, "Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. In personal calamity, thou hast moved." What is that? That means that God is a person, Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. You have proved. Huh? An impersonal calamity means I am God, you are God, we can become God, you have removed it. This is a big calamity. Some people ask, but India is a land of Dharma. India is a land of the Ganga, the Jamuna, the Saraswati, the Godavari, and the Kaveri. Huh? India is the land of all these pious things. And why is there so much suffering in India? Why is there so much poverty in India? Why is there so much suffering? Huh? So much suffering is there. There's drought, there's no water. It came in the newspaper. The newspaper was saying all the Mahants should pray for the Bhagavan and give blessing to get the water. You know what I said? It's because of the Mahants that we have no water. That's true. It's a calamity because in 99% of the mutts, they say they are Bhagavan. They say they are God. Huh? They don't give much respect to Krishna, to deity, because they are the Krishna. And it is because of this calamity that is all over India, and it's spreading itself in the world also, that India suffers. When our guru went to meet Indira Gandhi, when she was prime minister, he gave her something like a 10-point or 8-point or 10-point, 11-point, I forget, program. Very simple. He wrote it on a piece of paper to give to her. That day, she didn't have the Sukriti to meet Prabhupada, her next secretary met, and so he passed the note. Here's the 10-point program for India. All members of parliament, etc., 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 he said, must follow 4 regular principles, chant 16 rounds, 10 Mangal Arati, go to Srimad Bhagavatam, take Krishna Prasadam, read Bhagavad Gita, I think, distribute Prasadam to the public, make arrangements for non-Sankirtan. He said, if our government leaders do this, we'll become the world leaders. Because we will carry then the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just like the great Rajarishis and Rajarams used to in India. They were invincible. No one could conquer them. They were the world lead. They conquered the world. They ruled the world. But gradually in Kali Yuga, everybody's become impious. Everybody has become sinful. Everybody's become rascal. And even some people are good. Still, so many are doing wrong, doing wrong, doing wrong. And this creates reaction. So the suffering is mainly due to these rascals. These rascals who say they are God, and then they are worshipped by millions of people. He is the Bhagavan, and the government gives crores of rupees to their nonsense. And we wonder why there's no water. We'll be lucky if there's air next year. There'll only be air or water because of the Vaishnava. Bhagavad Gita says, by performing yajna, there will be rains. And every age has got yajna, different type of yajna. In this age, Homa is not so effective. It has a small effect. The big effect is Harinam. Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The big yajna, the big effect, is through Nam Sankirtan. This is the yajna for Kali Yuga, Nam Sankirtan. Either you do in a big group, or you do in a temple, or you do with your japa, or you do while you travel, Nama, Nama. This is giving purification. Yajna pleases the Supreme Lord. When Supreme Lord is pleased, all the devas, they're also pleased. Indra is pleased. He controls rain. Surya, heat, he is pleased. He controls the temperature, the heat. And the combination. If the world becomes God conscious, the world becomes very much like Vaikuntha. It becomes pleasant as much as you can expect from the material world. If the world becomes atheistic, it becomes a hell. Who is born on the desert is the killer of Brahmins, women, and children. Then he is born on the desert. He doesn't get water. He has to take water from ocean. Salty water. He doesn't get full food. He doesn't get coconut tree. He gets oil. He gets oil. We think, oh, they're very fortunate. They don't even get proper water. They get oil. That is a result of pop, sins. Overall, it's considered that South India is one of the most auspicious places in the world. Overall, there are holy rivers here. There is relatively good climate here, except for that which is disturbed by the rascals. The Supreme Lord is worshipped here as Vishnu and Krishna and Rama by millions of people. But slowly, practically, for the last 100 and 200 years, there has been a decline, decline, decline. And that decline is primarily due to people listening to what these rascals say. So, our Guru saves us from this calamity. It is the biggest calamity to besiege the humankind, the human society, is this man-god, woman-god conception, which you'll find everywhere. It is the biggest calamity. So as a Vaishnava, as disciples of our Guru, it is our duty to always keep ourselves distant from those things, don't involve in the calamity, and try to save others from the calamity. We can talk so many things, but if we fail to say that which is beneficial for the people, then we have not done our duty fully. Like Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva wrote so many things, including Vedanta Sutra. But he had not said those things which were most beneficial to the people, and therefore he was not satisfied. He was not fulfilled within himself. Then his guru, Narada Muni, came and told, no, you directly tell what is good for the people, their highest good, tell it clearly. Then he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. In Srimad Bhagavatam is all the information about Krishna and Krishna's lila. Everything comes in Srimad Bhagavatam. The highest good to the people. And the last thing that Vyas says in Bhagavatam is that we should all do Naam Sankirtan. Everyone should chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.